What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A $600,000 World War II Sherman tank.
I got money to burn.
And that reporter for Fox 26 in Houston goes and does a story on it, and he's great. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
He says in the toss to the story, a kick-ass tank.
Let's try buying a kick-ass tank.
And then the clip you just heard, what's everybody going to say in your neighborhood, all these rich-ass people?
What are your neighbors going to say, all these rich-ass people?
So we were getting a kick out of this guy.
This dude is a trip.
And on Twitter, we find out, a couple of people tweet us, that that is the same guy from that viral video that, if you haven't seen it, it's one of the funniest things that YouTube has ever had on there. The viral video of the reporter who is out in a field, and he goes, he reverts to his off-air self.
The duality of man.
Very quickly, when a bug flies in his mouth in what he describes as a country-ass town. So if you haven't seen that one, you have to find that
a must-see
on YouTube. And I think many people have.
Yeah.
So that is the guy. I can't believe that's the same guy.
Yeah, he cut his fro down, lost a few pounds.
And, looks good, sounds good.
Now he's out of that country-ass town, and he's down in Houston.
If you had a million of dollars.
Yeah, it's okay. He's allowed to screw
up.
So, yeah.
Hilarious.
Check out those things. I mean, I guess you can tweet out that video if people... But, I mean, it's not a new thing. Don't make it seem like a new thing. Say that reporter we were talking about yesterday is the same guy from this hit viral video.
Did we get in touch with him? I know we were trying to get him on the show.
I did not get in touch with him, no.
We called his office, though, right?
Called his office and left him an email.
Sweet.
Nice. All right, very good. Hopefully we get in touch with him because I think he'd be great. I think he'd be a perfect person to talk to about just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so week two started off with a thud with this Texans-Bengals game, Thursday Night Football. Last year, early on, had a couple of good games, but not so much last night in this first non-opening night version of Thursday Night Football. We had a couple of teams play on a short week, because that first one, you can't really say it's Thursday Night Football because you have a full offseason. Now's the first real Thursday night short week game.
And just you'd rather have them early in the season rather than late in the season.
Absolutely. But I do think that you're going to get some really good and entertaining games this weekend with storylines abound. So the first that I'm going to be keeping an eye on is this New England Patriots team and how they fare in week two with all this time off going down to New Orleans and taking on the Saints. Because the initial reaction for me and just about everybody else that pays attention to the NFL is bloodbath. Because you've got the Saints who look like absolute doo-doo on Monday night against the Minnesota Vikings on a short week, taking on a Pats team. Yeah, albeit at home, the Saints are, but still, taking on a Pats team that's got extra rest and just got their doors blown off to kick off the season by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Patriots, they've got injuries. And Danny Amendola is not going to play now. It's another injury, a wide receiver in addition to Edelman. It's not a good thing. If they have a ton of weapons, it's a good thing that they added extra players. But this just has written all over it, Tom Brady, 6 touchdown passes. And the way that the Saints played offense in that game, and they were on the road, and Drew Brees at home, different guy. It's a lot easier to be a bad offensive lineman at home than it is on the road. And the way they played, I cannot see the Saints doing anything in this game. And I don't see the Patriots letting their foot off the gas pedal after what happened. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots put up 50 points in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you're talking about a young defense. You have 3 rookies who are in that starting lineup for the defense. At linebacker, Alex Anzalone out of Florida. He's going to be a damn good player. Marcus Williams, Marshawn Lattimore, rookies in that secondary. So Tom Brady, the best in the business, may come out and exploit that. So it's going to be extremely difficult for this defense. which will get better and play well at some point. But going up against Tom, an angry Patriots team after losing that opening ball game, not protecting him particularly well, they're going to come in there, and I think they win this ball game.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if they lose this one after all that time off and the way that the Saints looked. I mean, they're in real trouble.
Yes,
and that's not something you say about the Patriots very often. Another big game. I'm going to go all the way to Sunday night. Is Green Bay traveling to Atlanta? And you would think normally that this is a game. It's indoors. Those two quarterbacks. I mean, it's going to shoot out, right? I mean, that's the first thing that you think of is this is going to be a back and forth affair. When these two teams get together, those two quarterbacks, Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers, is going to shoot out. You know, I'm not so sure. We saw both of these teams last week not look like themselves in week one, and Atlanta a little bit more concerning because they played the Chicago Bears. It's outdoors, on the road, it's week one, but still, this Bears team isn't supposed to be good on either side of the ball this year. You give Green Bay a little bit more of a pass, they go and win the game against the Seattle Seahawks, who have had one of the best defenses in football. But I wouldn't be surprised if both of these defenses stepped up in this game on Sunday night and we saw more of a 20-17 ball game as opposed to a 38-35 game.
Right.
It could go either way, but I think that everybody's just assuming this is going to be up and down, up and down, up and down, and not giving credit to defenses that can play. Green Bay, I think this year is going to be a lot better defensively, and that's what people are going to talk about when trying to figure out who's coming out of the NFC for the Super Bowl.
I would agree, and the Green Bay defense played fairly well last week. They held Seattle at 6 points, and they got after Russell Wilson repeatedly, forced him into mistakes. So they went out there a guy who is not necessarily stationary, and you're going after a guy now this week and Ryan, Matt Ryan, that is stationary, and he's your prototypical guy back there. So I give this Green Bay chance a hell of an opportunity to go back or go out and back up that performance they had last week versus a more versatile quarterback in terms of someone who can move around in the pocket and can extend play. So I like the way Don Capers' group played last week, and I look for much of the same.
It's a couple of games that aren't getting as much billing as maybe what the Patriots are going to do against the Saints or what you'll see on Sunday night, but I think are really fascinating games. And one being Tennessee and Jacksonville, because this Jacksonville team, nobody expected a damn thing from them this year when Blake Bortles was still the quarterback and the season that they had last year. Allen Robinson goes down with a season-ending injury. You think this offense is going to be even worse now. But the hurting that they put on the Houston Texans in week one and the way that that defense played. Now you have, you know, you got Doug Marrone for the full year and a full offseason to be the coach. You've got Tom Coughlin there who's got something to prove at 110 years old because he didn't like being forced out of there with the Giants as a big part of that organization. Leonard Fournette, the mentality that they have, we don't need to throw all the time,
right,
and we're going to run the ball and be a smash-mouth team with that defense. And then Tennessee, with all these high expectations, this offense that everybody thought was going to just pop this year, having a rough start against the Oakland Raiders, now facing this upstart Jacksonville team, looked great in week one. I mean, this is going to be a battle. I think this could be one of the best games of the week.
I think it can, too. And what was surprising about Tennessee taking on Oakland last week was Oakland was more physical, and Marshawn Lynch, that's why you go out and get him. He was running through catch. Jarrell Casey, the way he ran through a defensive lineman, he hasn't skipped a beat from taking a year off. So they knew it was going to be a physical affair. Mike Mularkey, the head coach there at Tennessee, is trying to build a more physical football team. I even like the idea of onside kick to begin the game. I thought that was brilliant, even though you don't get it. But they want to be physical, and now you're going up against a Jacksonville team that wants to be physical as well. That's how Coughlin built that franchise when he was their first head coach. They were physical up front, running the ball, and that's what they want again now with Leonard Fournette. So another bruising affair for the Tennessee Titans, and we'll see if that defense for Jacksonville can put up the same type of effort they did last week versus a offense that's challenged, a lot more challenged, especially on the offensive line, than the Tennessee Titans will be. So this will be a gut check for both teams.
And something I never thought of with this Blake Bortles saga was let's just make a team where he doesn't have to do as much. That's something that didn't cross my mind because I thought when I looked at those wide receivers, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, and Blake Bortles, who played really well in his rookie season, I was thinking, well, this team has to throw the ball. I mean, this is what it's going to be about. But they couldn't go out and get a better situation at quarterback. And what they decided to do is make sure that defense was a top-notch defense and then build around the running game and go out and get a stud in Leonard Fournette. I think that approach, it might save this Jacksonville Jaguars team from having to dismantle everything that they put in the last few years.
I think any quarterback would want that. You want to have some balance on the offensive side of the ball. And, yes, if you can take some heat off of Blake Bortles, who hasn't been a model of consistency, let's do it. And it's going to be the key, that running game, to solving or allowing Blake Bortles some more time to get comfortable, if you will. You would think going into your third, fourth year of the season, you're a little bit more comfortable. But you've had turnover at the coaching staff position, and you're learning new schemes and new systems. So you factor that in. And now if I can lean on a rookie in Leonard Fournette and I can lean on anyone else in that backfield, great. And all the onus isn't on me. More power to you. And I think Bortles will eventually grow into that position.
Sneaky good game. Eagles go to Kansas City. Oh, yeah. I like both of these teams a lot in 2017. And what the Chiefs did against the Patriots got everybody's attention.
No fluke.
That goes away quickly if they go home and put up a dud in week two. But the Eagles, I really like the Eagles this year. I liked them beginning of last year. I think they were playing over their heads a little bit when Carson Wentz was taking the world by storm, and they certainly came back to earth. But this is a team that went out and addressed the needs as far as weapons go for Carson Wentz. And then went out and got Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. Zach Ertz is a very underrated tight end for Carson Wentz. And this defense is a good defense. They got some struggles in the secondary, but I think that can be overcome. I think this is a team, it's got playoff team written all over it in the Philadelphia Eagles. And this could be a really good game, a close game. And I think really what it's going to come down to is which offense is going to have that big moment first. And that's why I lean towards the Kansas City Chiefs, because of these explosive playmakers that they have. I mean, they've got Kareem Hunt now. Tyreek Hill is there. I mean, you think, well, this team doesn't have any wide receivers. They don't really need them because they've got one of the best tight ends in the game. They've got an all-purpose guy in Tyreek Hill, and now they have a running back that could do just about everything. And Alex Smith is someone that looks really comfortable with the weapons that he has.
And they lose Eric Berry out of that secondary.
Which sucks.
It really does, considering everything he's gone through the last few years. But I like Kansas City as well. They have playmakers galore, and that's something that has not – and it's something that's been a huge void for that offense in years past. And you look at this Eagles offense. Hey, Nelson Aguilar didn't drop a pass. He caught a touchdown in the game versus Washington last week. So maybe he's figured things out, and they got him with Torrey Smith. And, of course, Alshon Jeffrey came over from Chicago. But it's that defense. Fletcher Cox still doing his thing, and Brandon Graham, those guys up front. I love the way they play Vinny Carey as well. If they can hold up and not have to blitz to get after Alex Smith, the Eagles, they have a chance. If not, if you're going to have these guys one-on-one in the secondary and these linebackers one-on-one with the tight ends and the running backs, it's going to be a tough night. And don't forget special teams with Tyreek Hill. That's going to be a huge factor in this matchup.
The Giants take on the Lions on Monday night. And Odell Beckham Jr.'s status is still up in the air.
Because he's been dancing, man. He good. Come on.
So let's listen to a little bit of him, and I'm sure you're going to get angry. First he said, this is what he's dealing with, something serious here.
Yeah, this injury business, dude.
This injury is a serious injury. Let's hear it.
It had been, 3 weeks after the injury. It hasn't even been a month since it happened. And, this is a 6 to 8 week thing. Unfortunately, as much as I was trying my hardest to get out there, it just wasn't enough time.
So
why would I be angry with him?
Well, it's just he's throwing out that 6 to 8 week thing, and he's powering through it, man. What a tough guy. He's making sure everybody knows how tough he is.
Well, that
after that whole display he had in that preseason game.
Well, he can never explain that away.
I've got a 6 to 8 week injury. It hasn't even been a month, and I'm out here practicing like a boss. You saw how hurt I was.
Bossing up, dude.
You saw how hurt I was.
High ankle sprains, as we discussed with Ike Taylor.
Give me
yesterday.
A biscuit.
Difficult, man. That little membrane between the two bones, your lower leg, you got to treat that bad boy. It's hard to get in that crease. It's hard to get in there.
Yeah.
I got shot up numerous times, taped that bad boy up, spat it. Nope. Doesn't work. It takes time. That's one of the most difficult injuries to treat.
Okay, so you're with him this time.
I'm with him.
I thought you were going to have a problem with him tossing out. Like, look at me, man.
No.
Like, oh, it's a 6-week, 8-week injury, and here I am.
6 to 8 week thing.
He's true. He's correct. Should say that's the truth. It takes forever to treat that bad boy. So who knows when he's coming back? But the fact that he's out there trying to practice, you can move around a little bit. Yeah, but can you go out there and cut and be at your optimum self? No, that's a tough injury.
Of course, the New York media pounced on OBJ, asking him about the alleged dance battle with Russell Westbrook.
Why did
it was
win?
A full-on dance battle, man. You know, we were in there breakdancing. I had the little beanie with the pad on it spinning on my head. You know, and it was incredible to be able to, you know, do something like that with Russell, man. It really, you know, it was everything for me.
A little facetious comment
yes.
there. By Odell Beckham Jr.
Media. Yeah. Come on. Or whoever. What was it? A spy?
It was a spy.
It was a spy.
A spy to Page Six.
Take that, spy.
Yeah. Those two guys are as... What word am I looking for
here? What two guys?
Russell Westbrook and Odell Beckham Jr.
Uh-huh.
As electric a pair of personalities
mm-hmm.
that pro sports has
mm-hmm.
currently. So the two of them in a real dance battle might be a lot of fun if it
might
actually
be cool.
happened.
Yeah. And we've seen Russell bust a move with his homeboy. I say that's his former teammate now, the guy he would dance with prior to the games.
Russell Westbrook?
You're talking about Russell Westbrook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget
that. Who would you take? I'd take Westbrook in that, I think.
Russell Westbrook?
I would take in the dance battle. I think I would take him.
Hmm.
More energy.
You're thinking of Cameron Payne, Brian.
Cameron Payne was the guy with the 5-head. And who would dance and yeah, cool. Five head. I'm close. I'm getting one. Yeah, hairline's receding. I would probably take. I'm going to take Odell Beckham.
Oh, you would? Wow.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
Take the South over the West Coast.
If it ever happens, man, we got our bets in. All right. Coming up next, an Andrew Bogus update and news from the entertainment world that made us dust off one of the great Gio and Jones moments of all time. We're coming right back.
Check us out on Facebook at Gio and Jones.
He can go. He's on the move. Energetic. My old ass. Well, I'm younger than him. Trying to rest. That's what I meant. You gonna get you some? You gonna get some HGTV?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to get back on that volleyball court, dog. You've been eating. I can tell.
Yeah, of course I've been eating. I don't stop eating.
What's up?
I'm not getting on that volleyball
get back.
Court.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know yet. I mean, it has to be something. I was thinking maybe full cleanse, just drink water. Maybe
I tried that once. That didn't work.
Maybe just I'm going to fast. I hear fasting is back.
Yeah, I tried that too.
I actually have heard that. I don't know. We'll see.
Work. That's hard for people like you.
I got bigger concerns than that.
You can't fast.
I mean, if I was 50 and this out of shape, it'd be a little bit different.
Don't fast.
I'm okay right now. I got a couple years.
You think?
A couple years before things go really bad.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see what happens. Something's got to motivate me, and it's nothing there that's motivating.
I'm going to do something that Bogus sometimes does to us, because I lost a friend yesterday, 46.
Oh, I saw the sports talk guy, right?
Yeah, Sean Adams, longtime sports talk guy down in Austin.
I was going to ask if you knew him.
Yeah, I just saw him when I was down there for my charity event. And 46, man.
It's brutal.
Yeah, look fine, good shape, former track guy. And just like that, 46.
Yeah, heart attack, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just
be careful.
Yeah, well, that's... I mean,
to you, Bogus.
Yeah, I mean, be careful.
Go, thanks, Brian. Well, I was on a happier note to say that you got to get in shape now. Don't wait. You got to do it now.
Look at Bogus. He's been
doing CrossFit,
looking good.
I'm not doing CrossFit. You don't listen to anything.
What the hell
are
you talking about? The CrossFit class?
It's not a CrossFit. It was just a regular class at the gym. It wasn't CrossFit.
What type of class was it? What did it entail? What did the guy have you doing?
He was like weights and stuff and jumping up and down. And
that's CrossFit.
No, CrossFit's like a cult. And they're all little gym.
It's not a cult.
You walk in, there's a thing on the board you have to follow.
You had different stations, right?
No, I stood in the same spot and I just picked up different weights and did different exercises.
CrossFit.
No, he can't. He's Bogut's not a CrossFit guy. He's not they can't.
The CrossFit mine and my own.
They're different people, the CrossFit people. They're like the American Ninja Warriors.
Exactly.
He's not. That's not him.
Just so what do they call what you did?
Working
called,
out,
it was
man.
It's called HIIT class.
Exercise.
High intensity training.
Yeah, CrossFit. Just another name for CrossFit.
You smug little man.
I was thinking about boxing stuff.
Dude, kickboxing, man.
I was thinking about that because that kind of interests me.
Just you in the back and you go at your own pace. Yep. And you should do this Lady Frances I had yesterday. You talking about kicking your ass.
Me in the back.
The warm-up is more difficult than the class. And everyone to a man to a woman looks at each other like, you're crazy. Because she is. But we show up every Thursday at noon.
Sounds like CrossFit.
We've got to.
There's some of that in there.
It actually does, yeah.
There is. All bear crawls and all that.
We got it.
Crazy
we got
friends.
Stuff to get to here.
Like so, what?
Like the road ahead.
And well, let's get to the road ahead.
Well, I'm trying to.
Get on it.
We had detours. It's brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. This weekend's race is at Chicagoland Speedway for the Tales of the Turtles.
Turtles?
Yeah.
What, Maryland's racing?
Tale of the Turtles or Tales of the Turtles? I don't know. It says Tales on my
Turtles.
It says Tales on my sheets. So, that's what I'm going to go with.
So it's going to be a slow race. Is that what they're saying?
No!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, baby. Give it to me. Give it to me!
Tales of the Turtles.
Oh! Chicago Speedway. Mile and a half. Try over there in Joliet, Illinois, even though it's Chicago land. It's southwest of Chicago. Y'all didn't know that. Did you? Did you know the Speedway was opened back in 2001? Who do I like? I like Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, and Matt Kenseth, my man from Wisconsin.
Advance Auto Parts introduces Speed Perks. Spend $100, get $20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards to carry, no points to keep track of. No nonsense.
You're mixing and scratching them.
It's from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, this whole thing.
They're back.
The Tales of the Turtles 400.
Wow.
And it's the on their logo, it's the Ninja Turtles.
Cool.
How many Ninja Turtles can you name?
One. Is it Michelangelo?
That's one.
Yep.
There's Donatello.
Donatello and Leroy.
No. Leroy.
Ooh, you're close.
Ray.
No. They got locked up after season two.
Those are the gangster turtles.
Right. You ain't no turtle, boy.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ain't no turtle. Yeah, talking about you a tortoise.
We're talking about
can't spell tortoise.
Yeah, that was on.
Get your ass in the paddy wagon.
BET late night. You're getting too confused. It was a spinoff.
You stole that. Stole that other turtle's flipper, didn't you? I knew it. You were a criminal. Knew it. You were so wrong. You know that.
Sensei.
I told you qualified.
It wasn't Splinter, but rather Jim Brown, former Browns running back, who was somehow living in the sewer.
Told you qualified to work with the brothers.
Leroy and Ray Ray.
brother turtle.
The brothers. Tale of the brothers turtles. So it's Donatello.
Yo, Ray Ray, what up with this shell, man? Get this thing off my ass or what? You got one too.
This thing is heavy, dog. Can we play dominoes on yours? 10! So Donatello, Michelangelo, and who else?
Raphael is one.
Raphael. So Mexicans got one. Brothers couldn't get one.
No.
What's up with that? Why couldn't we get one?
No, Raphael. It's not a Mexican turtle. It's not where that is coming from.
Man.
And then Splinter was the rat, rat sensei.
Yeah, so and Leonardo.
Leonardo was the fourth.
Yeah. Also, there's four. All right.
Yeah.
Leonardo, Raphael.
And then there was that news bimbo.
April O'Neil.
April O'Neil, right. Yeah. And she'd go and cover the Ninja Turtles. That was her beat, was the Ninja Turtles.
So we need to do a black Ninja Turtle like we did Blackula. And so we can get some representation, right?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Brothers.
Yes, exactly. We got to do that. We got to force their hand. That's wrong. We want to be represented. Ninja Turtle. Got to have a brother.
If you think about cartoons, you've got some very good black cartoons out there. I mean, what's the big one with Bill Cosby that he created?
Fat Albert.
That was back in the day. The Brown Hornet. That's old. Kids don't know that.
Well,
I grew up with that.
But still, it's a great one. And then Bebe's Kids was a feature film.
That was funny.
Yep. Bebe's Kids.
Stereotypical, but it was funny.
Yeah.
There's one out there now. Is it Boondocks or something? I think that one.
Yeah. Yep. So, but there's a history there, but there isn't really one right now that's popping. So we could do that.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Okay.
Black Ninja Turtles.
Well, and Ninja Turtles partially gave you Creole Bogish, who's based on Leatherhead, who's a character in the cartoon.
Mm. Gave us Creole Bogish.
So, okay.
I'm going down to New Orleans this weekend.
That's right.
I'll teach you some words.
Don't use that tone.
Can you pour me in the direction of beignets?
I guarantee.
Please. Where's the nearest plantation?
Nah, you're terrible at this.
Go there. All right.
Bogus. Get you some beignets, though. You definitely got to go to Café Du Monde, man.
How do you go from getting shape to get yourself some beignets?
Get in shape when you get back.
Yeah, it starts on Monday.
Yeah.
It's been starting on Monday since 2016. All right.
So they were one strike away from losing for the first time since August 23rd and then didn't lose.
2-2. Swung on, drilled. Deep left field. Gordon back at the wall. Leaps, it's off the wall. Kicks back to left center. Gonzalez scores the tying run. Lindor, big turn. He'll stay at second. How about that?
Tom Hamilton, Indians Radio. KC left fielder Alex Gordon almost made a history-ending jumping catch, but instead, they went to the 10th inning thanks to Francisco Lindor's RBI double, and then Jay Bruce doubled in the winning run for Cleveland, a 3-2 final, their 22nd straight win, now the second longest ever, 4 wins shy of those 1916 New York Giants. Cleveland then clinched a playoff spot when the Angels took a 5-2 home loss from the Astros. Houston's magic number for clinching the AL West is down to 3. The Cubs completing a 3-game sweep of the Mets, 14-6. They outscored New York 39-14 in the series. The Nats avoid a 3-game sweep, 5-2 over the Braves. The Houston Texans avoiding an 0-2 start with a 13-9 win in Cincinnati on Thursday Night Football. Bill O'Brien did start rookie QB Deshaun Watson as expected. He scored the only touchdown of the night, a 49-yard run just before halftime that broke a 3-3 tie. O'Brien reserved in his post-game breakdown of Watson.
It wasn't perfect, but he did some good things. There'll be a lot to learn from. We'll go watch the tape.
Watson threw for 125 yards, was sacked 3 times, but did not turn the ball over. J.J. Watt made the final tackle of the night while worried about the dislocated finger he suffered back on Sunday.
It was really good until like the last 3 plays, and then I was literally adjusting it and feeling it as I was running around trying to chase that guy in the last play. I'm honestly quite kind of scared to take my glove off. I honestly don't know what's in there.
Yeah, it's still going to be a finger, just not sure if it's together. Watts' defense kept the Bengals out of the end zone. They have yet to score a touchdown this season. The good news is they go to Green Bay next weekend. Odell Beckham Jr. status for Monday night with the Lions still unclear, but the Giant wideout practiced yesterday for the first time since injuring his left ankle in a preseason game, and Mark Leishman has a 2-shot lead after round 1 of the BMW Championship, the 3rd event of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Leishman, 10 birdies in a 9-under-62. Jason Day's part of a group 2 shots back. Jordan Spieth is 3 off the lead. Boys?
So we're just brainstorming, me, Mikey B, and PDB during the update of what's going to be the cartoon that we take to make mainstream in black. And Pete very seriously said to me in my ear, Black Smurfs. And I think that's what it needs to be. I think the Black Smurfs.
Why we got to be short, dog? Why can't we be full grown? Why we got to sing? I know we're very musical people, but why we got to sing, dog? Huh?
All right, you don't like the Black Smurfs?
What's up with that, dog? No, man, they short people. We don't be those little people.
All right.
You don't be full grown.
All right, Brian.
Yo. Yeah.
At least make us Oompa Loompas, Smurf.
You want to be an Oompa Loompa instead?
They're taller than the Smurf.
I think you missed Bogus's joke. Yo. That would be good. All right, so you don't like Black Smurfs. How about the Black Flintstones? You like the Black Flintstones?
Yeah, man, they had some big ribs back then.
Brontosaurus, right? Okay.
Mate,
he likes that one.
Tilt the car over, the drop top, but hey, let's do it.
All right, we'll work on that.
Smurfs. How about the black Scooby-Doo? Investigate crime. instead of being the subject and the suspect, Scooby-Doo. How about we investigate?
Scooby-Doo is no longer whatever he is, but a pit bull, right?
How about,
by a former NFL linebacker.
How about the Black Jetsons? We are the future. It's the new South.
Yes. That's deep, man.
Yeah.
That's really deep.
Yeah.
All right, I can't forget about the tees. We'll continue to work on these cartoons as the season goes on. But Josh Duhamel and Fergie were one of those big celebrity couples that were together for a long time. So apparently they're splitting up. And I didn't think too much about the two of them splitting up. Not a big deal to me. However, it reminded me of one of the great moments in Gio and Jones history. Is we were at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It was Super Bowl week. We were trying to get interviews after the show to tape. And Mikey B was walking around with the recorder, going up to people, and he saw Josh Duhamel, the actor.
Yeah.
And he was confused because Josh Duhamel has nothing to do with the NFL or football. So he wanted to know what's going on here. So he went up to Josh Duhamel, and this is how it went.
How you doing, Mike? Good. I'll just take up 1 minute of your time.
Okay.
You're a very handsome man.
So are you.
That's good.
Yeah.
And your wife is a very gorgeous woman.
Yes, she is.
Why the f*** are you here?
I am here because, A, I love football. I've never been to the whole media thing that they do here every year. And
I forgot how
we had a good reason to come because I got a baseball movie coming out. And we wanted to come out and try to, you know, at least do some long lead stuff and start planting some seeds and start letting people know and raising awareness about it.
The scruff is going well. That works.
Thank you.
I can never get it that level.
I had it long and bushy a couple weeks ago.
No, stick with the scruff short. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Is that what the chicks dig?
Well, I'm married, so I wouldn't know. I'm, you know, her and I are we're doing good.
Good, good, good. So are me and my wife. By the
yes,
way.
I've seen or read. Have a wonderful day.
You too, buddy. You too.
Thank you.
Started off so well. Why the, are you here? And then just
how about at the end? Huh? It's sad to hear that. They were doing well then, not doing well now. Shed a tear for Josh Duhamel and for
right.
It's unbelievable. It's like, oh, hey, just take a couple minutes of your time. Why the blank are you here?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
From there on, no, not so good.
He did a great job that week.
Oh, he had some board balls.
Yeah, he did, week. Man. He went. Yeah. Hey, listen, he went up to Bob Baffert.
Yeah,
and
right.
asked him which one of his horses was the most well hung in front of his wife.
Yeah, that was awkward.
Yeah.
That was really weird.
I don't remember. Even did Baffert answer the question?
did he answer the question?
I don't remember. That one actually made me nervous. Why the f*** are you here?
I am here.
And Duhamel just rolled with the punches there.
Yeah.
Why the hell are you here?
Why the hell are you here?
He's like,
I love football.
I'm here because I like football.
What was the baseball movie? Because I don't recall it.
I don't know. Come on.
I'm just curious. No, we'll have to look it up. I was just wondering if it was a hit or not.
Probably not. Yeah. I don't think it was Moonlight. Yeah. Didn't make it to the top.
Just want to make sure.
All right. Coming up next, America's team back at it again. And a big fight, huge fight, I'm going to have to miss live, which is driving me nuts. Coming right back.
This is Hall of Fame running back Curtis Martin, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So I'm going to be in New Orleans this weekend for a wedding. It's a friend that I do care about, and I want to be there for him. Of course, it's a Saturday night wedding, and it is right smack dab in the middle of everything that's going on in sports. College football on Saturday. Saturday night is Triple G Canelo. I got an early flight on Sunday. I didn't want to stick around there and miss anything. I should have thought about going to Saints Patriots. I didn't think about that.
Could have hooked you up, dog.
But it's just going to be easier for me to get back home, watch all the games like I normally do. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go to the football game. You know, I'm all about getting everything right in my face.
Gotcha.
Like the Red Zone channel, all that. But I'm bummed out, man. I mean, I'm more into fights right now than I've ever been. It's I really am into it.
Boxing's glad to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sure that they are. They don't need any help with this one. They didn't need any help with Mayweather and McGregor. And this really is two unbelievably high-level boxers going at it. And someone who is going to be the biggest draw in boxing. Because whoever wins this is going to be the pay-per-view flag carrier. Because now Floyd officially done, and there's really no one to take that mantle. Now you have these two guys that have been fighting, and people have been paying attention to both of them. The winner comes out of this as a real draw. I like Triple G. I understand the concerns about him. He's a slight favorite in this. He's 35 years old, did not look great against Jacobs, and Canelo is by far the best opponent that he has ever seen. And Triple G, as great of a fighter as he is, Canelo's got bigger fights as far as opponents go than Triple G has, and Canelo can punch. Both these guys can punch hardcore, yeah. So I would not be surprised. I don't think it's going to happen early, but I would not be surprised if you see a stoppage later in this one. I'm going to lean towards Triple G as far as a TKO late in the fight.
Are you anticipating both of them will go at it? It'll be an entertaining brawl?
I think so, yeah. I mean these guys, they want to land one of their big punches. They're not someone who's going to work the scorecard. Neither one of them have fought like that. They're looking for that opportunity to land that big punch and knock the other guy out, or at least stun him so much that the fight is called. So I think you're going to see these two guys in the middle of the ring a lot of this time just throwing them.
Well, I've been watching the 24/7 show on HBO, and I can understand why there's so much excitement about Triple G. I've never seen one of his fights, but just watching the highlights from these fights, and in particular the Jacobs fight, saw that one as well, which has been his toughest fight to date. The guy's a freak of nature, man. For someone who got no notoriety fighting over in his home country, and then comes over here and as an older fighter and just takes boxing by storm. He is a tremendous beast in the ring and knocking everyone out. He's got 33 knockouts in his career. Truly a gifted fighter. And it seems like just a cool cat down to earth and with all the success he's been able to attain. And Canelo, well aware of him, and his only loss is to Mayweather. But both have interesting upbringings and how the sport came to them. Their brothers introduced them to the sport. So I'm looking forward to this one. Now, I'm supposed to be watching my Longhorns tomorrow night. That kick is 8:30. I'll also have an eye on this fight. This seems like it's going to be a pretty damn good one. I'm going to lean Canelo.
Canelo Alvarez.
Yes, not Carmelo.
Yeah.
Canelo Alvarez. I'm going to lean with my man Canelo.
Yeah, and this is going to start a little bit earlier for the people on the East Coast. So the undercard, I believe, starts at 8, not 9. Mm-hmm. So as far as the pay-per-view goes. So this fight, the Canelo Triple G fight, will probably happen more towards 11 o'clock Eastern time as opposed to midnight that you're used to. And Canelo Alvarez, 34 knockouts to the 33 for Triple G. So that's what they're used to, both of these guys. And I don't know if either one of them are going to get it, but it's going to be fascinating for sure. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate, man, because like this trip to New Orleans is now turning like this business trip for me now. Like I'm not going to... you know that city so well. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to have any fun. I'm going to be down there in and out. All I'm going to be thinking about is getting home and how I'm going to watch stuff. This is why people, and I love this guy. I don't want to blame him or get on him or he's not going to listen to this, but I don't want it to make it seem like I'm being so unbelievably selfish here because it's his day. But it is. It's really tough. And he's in the sports talk industry as well.
Oh, wow.
So it's like it's really tough to ask.
Party foul.
I mean, this is, it's tough, man. I know that in his grand scheme of things, he's not going to be thinking about week two of the NFL, week three college football, Triple G, Canelo. He's not going to be thinking about that 15 years down the road. He's going to be remembering his wedding. But, I mean, in the moment, for someone that's got to pay attention to everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And to have a destination wedding, it's just... it's tough. I feel bad for being
party
selfish.
Foul. He should have known you don't plan a wedding during football season.
Yeah. I don't
you think, have to know that.
I don't think he's driving this bus. Not many men do, but, you know.
You should have put his foot down.
Well, when it
listen,
comes
woman, to... you know what's paying the bills? My job. No, my job is to watch football. No, come on, let's compromise here.
She's got a good job, too. So.
Okay, listen, woman. I know you make more money than me, but my job means a lot to me.
Yeah.
In case you ever leave me, I got to maintain my employment. I have to know what's going on. That work? No.
How about this? And we get a text from the bride. Says we're doing a retro theme. I need to let you know. On Monday, before the Saturday wedding,
so
women will be dressing up as flapper girls and men are going to be wearing this. I'm like, are you kidding me?
A week before you're supposed to leave, huh?
Less than a week.
Yeah, less than a week.
I mean, and you know how women are with getting prepared for going out. I mean, my wife had a dress before the wedding, before the engagement for this thing. So, I mean, I'm going to put on a suit and go to a wedding. I'm not going to look like an Al Capone. Flapper girl? What? Come on. I feel bad.
You're not going to buy in?
Now I feel bad.
Why?
Because it's a special day, and I'm complaining about it like a jerk.
My good friend got married during football season. We were all the groom in one room looking at the game. It was a Florida State game, too. Back when Florida State was, you know, it was big time. They are again somewhat. But when they were really ruling the roost in college football, and everyone was just focused on the game, you know, one ear and eye turned towards the wedding and where we're supposed to walk out, and then the other one was definitely focused on the game.
Yeah.
That's tough. We're football season.
So it's okay that I'm complaining about it? I'm not a bad person for complaining about it?
I mean, you're a bad person, but yeah, it's okay.
Oh, stop. I'm not a bad person.
You're horrible.
Way better than you. I'm a better man.
No, no, no.
Better man than you. Let's not take a poll again.
You must be crazy.
No, I'm not. I'm fully aware.
No, your buddy is a bad man.
Yes. Coming up next, Danny Cannell, Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.